Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, the only moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casinos, the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Every dating app swap is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Right, we made it through, everyone. F1 is finally back, and thank you, Miami, because that was a cracker. Deep breath in and out. Those 5 weeks are officially over, and we finally had a race weekend. This is the Essential F1 Podcast. Make sure you hit the bell button and follow us wherever you get your podcasts, because we have so much to discuss. Yes, by the way, we are remote this week. That's purely because it's a bank holiday here in the UK and there are no trains. Meanwhile, I'm Nicola Hume, and as always, I am joined by the man who's had to turn to powerboat racing to get his racing kicks, but he's back where he belongs now in the F1 fold. It's Mr. Ben Edwards. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Nicola. Yeah, it was fun to do powerboats, but it's also been great to see Formula One back in action again. The fact that we had the youngster, Kimi Antonelli, taking another victory ahead of Lando Norris, other good battles going on, George Russell struggling a little bit, Franco Colapinto getting his best result ever in the end. That was partly because Charles Leclerc got his penalty, sadly, down to eighth. He got big penalty towards the end there. A couple of teams didn't really feature this time. Haas and Racing Bulls, they've done quite well in the past, so that was a shame. And Isaac Hadjar going out of the race. But my goodness, there was so much to look into, so much for us to talk about.
Yes, we have loads to get through. So to help us pick through all the carnage of Miami, we have got W Series race winning driver, driver coach extraordinaire, F1 pundit and commentator Alice Powell. How are you doing, Alice?
I'm very good. Thanks for the very nice introduction. That's probably one of the nicest ones.
It was written by producer Jim.
Maybe sound really cool. As Ben will probably say, I am definitely not as cool as you've just made out there.
You are cool. I mean, we caught up last week at Silverstone with F1 Academy. That was great. So, plenty to look forward to. Really, really good stuff.
Right, shall we get stuck in then? Well, first of all, I think we need to kind of just mention that, yeah, we are recording this remotely today, but we will be back in the studio from next week, because there is a special that's coming up very soon that I'm going to tell you about later. But in the meantime, producer Jim, what have you got for us?
Right, let's start at the first corner. Max Verstappen's spin. How did he get away with that one? Then bludgeoned his way back to the front briefly. In a strange way, are Max and Red Bull back?
I think so. Strange way? What makes it strange?
It's concerning for everyone else if they are.
Yeah, I thought his recovery was brilliant, actually, but it was a shame in a way that he had that spin so early on, and it made the race interesting, him fighting his way back. But I do think that Red Bull have made a big step up. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, I think they have. They bought a whole host of upgrades. Okay, say that. So did McLaren and so did Ferrari, but no, they've made a real step forward, and I think it eased Max's frustration ever so slightly. Of course, he had the spin in the race, which I thought was a fantastic save, and everyone else behind did a great job to avoid him. But I'm really pleased that they are, because we want to see as many teams as possible fighting at the front. And I think, you know, if Max is there, it's always going to be exciting. I mean, how many times did we see him just throw a move down the inside of George Russell, you know, the battle between him and Lewis Hamilton in the sprint? He always makes it exciting. So I'm pleased, not just for the sport as a whole, that Max and Red Bull are back in the fight, but of course for Max and Red Bull fans as well.
I did find it very funny that there was a lot of comments from the midfield drivers going, just because he's in the midfield doesn't mean he can start dive bombing and doing all of that sort of stuff. But it was really nice, actually, because after quali, he was being interviewed because obviously he was up in P2 at that point. And during that interview, he was like, well, I think I'm happy. Whereas the whole start of the season, he was obviously not happy with the whole setup. He didn't like how everything felt within the car. And then he gave a shout out to the team for just working so hard to build the car around him to make him comfortable. And now he seems comfortable. And a comfortable Max is a potentially scary Max for everyone else, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Oh, I think he could be a real potential going forwards.
Yeah.
And I have to say, well done to... For Red Bull and Ford, or sorting the powertrain out as well, because, you know, it's Mercedes have gathered, they've been working on a long time, but they have the likes of sort of McLaren to maybe feed off, Alpine now, Williams, whereas Red Bull is kind of just solely really on their own. So I think they seem to be doing, yeah, a good job in getting that sorted. Obviously, it's, for them, they probably feel it's still not where they need to be, but I think credit to them in that sort of area as well.
Yeah, producer Jim.
Okay, despite rule changes, active aero and super clipping, some things never change. Terrible strategy calls from Ferrari. Leclerc went from leading to the minor points placings. Do we think Ferrari can win at all this season? Discuss.
I think so. I think they can. I mean, the starts... The starts are still so impressive, aren't they? The way that he can sneak through at the start. And yeah, I do feel for him that it just didn't come together. And then right at the end of the race, making a mistake. But I really do feel that they've got potential.
I think, though, obviously they're going to be disappointed. But I said it over the weekend, even when they had a fairly okay qualifying, particularly Charles, maybe not so much Lewis, that they'll still be disappointed, because I'm pretty sure they bought the most upgrades of the weekend. I think it was 11. That's a lot of upgrades to bring, a lot of expectation. And you could say, okay, well, now Red Bull have maybe jumped in front of them. McLaren have jumped in front of them. And, you know, their gap in the race really to Mercedes, I think that's possibly got slightly bigger. So I would say they're probably leaving or have left Miami being hugely disappointed. And then, of course, Charles getting the penalty as well, which I was a bit confused by. And then I did see quite a lot of the onboards of how many corners he did actually cut on that final lap. But I still think it was a harsh penalty, but it just adds to their woes, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was 20 seconds or something in the end, wasn't it? Which is is a lot. But I do I want to bring up actually to you, Alice and Ben. Obviously, at the start of the season, we saw the Ferrari rotating rear wing, and then Red Bull have now got it, which people are coining as the Max Arena. So, do you just think that this is Red Bull copying Ferrari's homework but doing a really good job of it?
I heard that Red Bull had already thought of it themselves, so they just hadn't put it on. Yeah, so I think that's they had their own design, and
did they think of it, or were they no, we thought of it first. No, it's fine. We didn't copy anything.
Well, they could all argue. I don't know, and whether we're going to see other teams doing it, that would be interesting. But I still think Ferrari can do something. And actually going into, and we'll talk about the next race, Montreal. That's a race that Lewis Hamilton has been incredibly successful at. Whether Ferrari can get it together there, it's going to be interesting.
Lewis Hamilton's mood actually was much better than I expected it to be as well, because, I mean, I'd certainly, maybe not so much after the race, it was disappointing for them, but particularly after sort of the sprint race and sprint quali and on the driver's, kind of the driver's parade that didn't really happen but did happen, he was really looking forward to the race and said, yeah, we should challenge, going to be mixed conditions. That didn't obviously come in the end, but yeah, he seemed quite happy. Even though he's still lacking ever so slightly behind Charles Leclerc, I was quite surprised at sort of how upbeat he was, which is great. We want to see an upbeat, a happy Lewis Hamilton and Lewis Hamilton fighting at the front. But I agree. I think we will see them racing at the front. And I think we will see it's Lewis Hamilton win a race, which in a Ferrari colours, which I think will be really special.
Maybe that would be 5 weeks with Kim Kardashian has brightened his mood a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. That's what I was thinking in the back of my mind.
Producer Jim.
Okay. McLaren confirmed their Japan form was not a one-off. Sprint race 1-2 and Grand Prix 2-3. Still loads of time to crawl their way back into championship contention. Might McLaren be Mercedes' closest competitors now? Discuss.
Quite possible.
Looks
quite
like
possible.
It.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that Lando could have won that race and was a bit frustrated, and we'll come into that a little bit more. But yeah, there's no doubt that the upgrade that they managed to do for that event, I was really impressed. Actually, I was really impressed with what McLaren were producing, and both Lando and Oscar were right back on the pace.
Yeah, I wonder if you said to Lando before the start of the weekend, look, you're going to win the sprint race and finish second in the Grand Prix. I bet he would have absolutely snapped your hand off for that. And then he seemed quite disappointed after the race. But I feel like he got a taste of, okay, it was only the sprint, but getting a taste of winning again and then finishing second, you're a little bit disappointed. But yeah, that they've made real big steps forward. Miami's always been a really strong track for them anyway. It'd be really interesting to see how they get on in Canada, because that's been a strong track, certainly last year, for both Mercedes and for McLaren. But they should be, yeah, both really pleased. Oscar, I feel like he seemed a bit disappointed, and maybe rightly so. He was, what, 24 seconds, maybe something like that, behind his teammate. So he's still a long way behind his teammate. But no, a good step forward for them.
Producer Jim.
Okay, honourable mention for Williams. After a dreadful pre-season and an overweight car, they seem to be the big winners from the extended break. Can they get back to their 2025 form? Discuss.
I hope so.
Yeah. I think, I mean, getting double points for the first time in this new season was a big deal, absolutely, for Albon to get his first points of the year. So it was a big, I think, it definitely helped them. They've made some good changes to the car. They're up there. Whether they can now keep it going, that's the important thing. But I just get a feeling of much more positivity from them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, from the start of the weekend, and I'm sure Carlos said on the radio, was it maybe sprint quali? He was like, guys, what are we doing, basically? So I'm sure, yeah, for them, I always love seeing Williams up there, particularly in the points. And I think they've got a great driver pairing of Carlos and Alex as well. So they'll be really pleased. Okay, there was a lot of incidents in the race and a lot of things that maybe you could say have helped them get up there. But still, they were in front of the Haases, and I think Bortoleto as well, who's, you could say, they've been in front. And particularly, obviously, the Racing Bulls, who had an awful weekend.
Do you think there's a part of Carlos Sainz that was a little bit gutted that the race got moved forward? Because Carlos is particularly good in the wet. And I feel like if it was raining at that point, he could have taken advantage of that. Because we know that Max is great when it's wet. We know that Carlos is great when it's wet. And I feel like maybe if it was just 2 hours earlier rather than the three, then maybe Carlos could have done a little bit better and taken advantage of his wet skills.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. And if you're starting out of position a little bit where he would have liked to have been, I think that you're hoping for something like rain to spice it up, to move further forward. And like you said, if you enjoy driving in the rain, and obviously no one has any idea how these cars are going to behave in the wet. I think it was only Red Bull and Ferrari are the ones that did a little bit of intermediate running. I think as a driver, you're out of position, you're like, well, let it rain, spice it up. I can make my way forward.
I was almost hoping for a bit of rain towards the end of that race, just to add
so
to
was
it. But
I.
But I was pleased they made that decision to get them out early before it got really bad. So it was a good choice.
Yes, fine. Health and safety wise, yes, fine. But, you know, it would have been more exciting, wouldn't it?
I mean, the F2 race when it rained, that was, I don't know if anyone watched that. That was incredible. So,
yes.
Yeah. A bit of rain would have spiced it up. We might get that at Canada. Who knows? Because we know what it's like there.
We stay hopeful. Producer Jim.
Okay, Kimi Antonelli becomes the first person in history to win their first three Grand Prix from pole position. An amazing outlap after a key undercut pit stop to jump Lando. Is this going to be Piastri all over again, or could he be world champion in 2026? Discuss.
I think it's possible. He seems very level-headed and very calm. Bearing in mind, he's 19. And you can't help but look at him and think, I am old enough to be your mum. That's crazy. But like, you're watching him thinking he's not attacking these races with a teenage head at all. He seems so calm. He's enjoying it, but he seems very calm and like he's got everything under control. And I think George, he should be feeling particularly threatened right now.
Yeah, no. And I mean, I was probably one of those as well. I don't know if you guys were, that when he came into F1, sort of for his first full season last year, I was a bit like, oh, he's still so young. Like, he skipped Formula 3. He's not had, he's what, at F4, Formula Regional, straight into F2, a year of F2, bang into F1. I was thinking, is this going to be the right thing? And, you know, he saw flashes of brilliance, and Toto, obviously, when he won his first race, was like, see, this is the Kimi we've been talking about. So it's really nice that must fill him in confidence that he's had that much trust from Mercedes put into him. And yeah, every time he sort of goes out from like his first win to winning the Miami Grand Prix, you almost like you mature. He matures every time. And yeah, for as you said, for someone that's still 19, so young, to be that mature, that level-headed is impressive. But, you know, the pendulum can swing quite quickly. We saw it last year between Lando and Oscar. Everyone was kind of thinking, I certainly was, that Oscar's gonna get it over Lando, because Lando just doesn't, you know, seem to keep the consistency. And then look how that turned out in the end. So still a long way left to go, but I am so impressed with Kimi and today, particularly his one lap pace. He really put George to shame.
Yeah, I agree with that. That was a fantastic outlap that he did. And yes, by the team bringing him in a fraction early, that earlier pit stop, that was a good move. They did really well. Then you could see Lando regretting that afterwards. But he was impressive. And when you think back to that Miami, we had some of the great drivers, Max Verstappen, Charles Leclerc, making mistakes, and Kimi getting it right. I mean, yes, okay, at the start, he did run wide because he braked very late into the first corner, but he avoided all the incident that went on, got back on, and he was very much into the battle. I was super impressed. And the fact that he's won three races in a row like this as such a young man is so impressive. And George Russell definitely has some pressure on him.
Yeah. Imagine if he actually sorted his starts out, how far down the road he could be by the end of lap one. He just tries to make it exciting for us, I think.
Producer Jim.
Okay, on the other side of the Mercedes garage, George Russell is not happy in Miami. Tasty radio chat and truly beaten by Kimi. Was Miami just a bogey track, or has Kimi got the better of George psychologically? Discuss.
This is what I think might happen to George, because it does seem like there was a bit of moaning going on the radio from George, and he does love a good moan, and that is also part of the entertainment of some people that enjoy following George, is if there's something wrong, it's not normally his fault, there's something to blame, and he seems to be blaming what was going on in the car with the setup, something going on with he was complaining about something on the steering wheel, I think, that wasn't quite working halfway through the race, and you just kind of go, George, just accept that this is not working in your favour. Maybe Canada might be better for you, but he's clearly mama's mad, basically.
I think I was always one of these that was kind of thinking that break that we had, maybe it's going to sort of disrupt Kimi's flow and George can have a nice reset. Obviously, Miami's not a very good track for him. He said he doesn't like the circuit. He struggled there last year. But as a racing driver, tough, it's on the calendar, you have to kind of just deal with it. But it almost seems like this break has fueled Kimi even more, and it's been a little bit of a struggle. And I feel for, like, yeah, George, he won at Canada last year, so he'll be going into the Canadian Grand Prix with confidence in terms that he likes that track. But I'd still, for him, be a little bit like, right, I need to just sort it out now, because you know, quite quickly we could get middle of the season and you'd just be too many points behind.
Mm. I totally agree with that. I think he's really got to deliver now. I think he's got the ability, but he was very honest, as you say, about him not actually really enjoying the Miami circuit. But I heard Damon Hill chatting about it a little bit, and he was saying when you're top level, you can't sort of absorb the fact that one of the tracks won't suit you. You've got to just deliver what you can all the time. And yeah, George definitely needs to deliver. I think he can, but I do think, as you say, actually, that going into the next race will be a real, let's keep an eye on him. Let's see how he does this time. This is where he really needs to get it together. If he doesn't, then I think he is under risk from Kimi Antonelli, but others as well coming into this potential battle for the championship.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Producer Jim.
All right, Miami was so bonkers, I'd like each of you to share your favourite moments. Do you want to start, Nicola?
Okay, I will start. The opening lap was absolutely bonkers, wasn't it? I mean, we had to wait probably about 8 laps until we finally saw a replay of the start because there was so much happening within that starting section. And I remember watching it and just going, I need to see a replay, but also don't take your eyes off the screen because there's still so much going on. I wanted to talk about the racing, but also I need to bring up Jimmy Fallon. I don't know if you watched it on Sky, but if you've seen the clips on social media, he was on, I'm going to go with lots of coffee. Let's go with that. Because Martin Brundle's walking along doing his grid walk or whatever, and he's gone up to him and he's just bitten off the mic muff and then was just extremely hyperactive. And maybe he shouldn't have so many coffees before he goes to a Grand Prix, but it was very entertaining.
Yeah, it was a bit... That was very bizarre.
They're weird.
And I'm always like, it's great seeing celebrities, but I'm always like, let the fans that like are paying for the tickets to go on the grid. But that's a whole different discussion in itself. I'm with you 100%. The opening lap, but I just think I know I'm sort of jumping on the Kimi train, but when he was having the issues with his gearbox. Almost a little bit of the panic in his voice, and then Bono being like, "No, it's okay, we're on it. Just keep going." And you could see that gap between him and Lando was getting closer. Then it was opening a little bit, and again, a really mature job by him, and probably one of his most impressive. I know that Japan was very impressive, but I think he'd have more credit for that race. You know, is it raining, spots of rain, gearbox issues, Lando Norris, who's world champion, hungry, wants his first win of the year, chasing him down. I think that was probably his most impressive win so far, because he's probably going to get more. Maybe that's him whizzing past on a motorbike.
I was wondering.
But yeah, no, it was, I would probably say that was one of, the highlights for me is just how impressive that win was. Okay, I know the gap was sort of over 3 seconds in the end, but when you're under that much pressure, when you're leading a race, he did a great job.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think one of my favourite points, as you all say, that first lap was amazing. And I think Max Verstappen's spin and control was impressive. Yes, I mean, it meant a bit of chaos, but nobody actually made huge contact. It did hurt Hamilton a little bit in the end, but that was amazing. And just watching Max being back on it again, I enjoyed that. Some of his late braking back to what we kind of expect to see from Max Verstappen, and his potential in a car that he's now feeling more confident with, I think it makes it really interesting going forward. Yeah.
Yeah. Fighting so hard with severe tyre degradation was just super impressive for Max.
It was impressive. Yeah. Yeah. Because they'd done so many laps, hadn't he, by the time he was under pressure at the end there.
Yeah. I think they were like 42 laps old or something by that point. Mm. And he was still fighting a really good fight by that point. But also, I think we should mention, Ben, on every car, there was really lovely tributes to be made this weekend, wasn't there?
Yeah, to Alex Zanardi, and it meant a lot. I mean, to me, it was very sad to hear, because I used to commentate on what he was doing in America, what was the IndyCar championship in those days, and him winning the titles. And then he was just so dominant at that time. He had been in Formula One, it hadn't worked. And then when he got into CART, as they call it, CART, he was absolutely in fantastic form. And he was a friendly guy to talk to. I used to, as a commentator, I used to be out there. I used to go and have a chat with him. Very easy to talk to. Yeah, when he went back to Formula One, sadly, it didn't work. And then I was commentating when he had that horrible accident in Germany.
Whoa, you were commentating
that? Yeah, I was. And he lost his legs. But the way he then came back to racing, he was doing touring cars. I met him at Brands Hatch after that. And he said, "Oh, Ben, let me show you the car. Let me show you how it works." And, you know, without his legs working, he could still make it work and get amazing results in the BMW. And then, of course, going into the cycling, hand cycling that he went into, and winning a race at Brands Hatch. I remember that. Yeah. That was in the Olympics. I feel bitterly sad that he's gone. But he was such an amazing guy. He was.
Did you ever get the chance to meet him as well, Alice?
No, I actually raced his chassis in karting in some of my junior karting. I have plenty of pictures with Zanardi on the front of my kart. But
yeah,
you know, it's, as Ben touched on, like, huge inspiration to all of us. You know, he was one of those that doesn't matter what happens, just never give up. Anything's possible. And as Ben touched on, you know, with him winning the gold medal at Brands Hatch, had to be, of course, Brands Hatch, I think was super special. I remember that taking place back in 2012 and it being like one of those, like, that is just perfect that he's won it at a racetrack as well. So yeah, when I heard the news, I was also, yeah, really, really sad.
Shall we do our We Need to Talk About section, Ben?
Absolutely, let's get into it. We need to talk about and this week need to talk about Isaac Hadjar. He's had a very good last year, 2025, but he's had a bit of a struggle, especially this last weekend at Red Bull. And you could, the mood in him when he made that mistake, and they had the onboard camera, and he's just bashing the steering wheel and so upset that he'd made a mistake. He touched the barrier basically and flicked the front suspension. Off he went. It's a bit of a tough one for him, isn't it?
Well, I want to get your perspective on this, Alice, because obviously, he's made a mistake. He's gone into the wall. We saw him hit the steering wheel once, twice, three times. And then all of a sudden, he kept hitting the steering wheel. He kept bashing on the halo. He came out of the car. He's still kicking and just going completely mad at himself. How does that feel whenever you, if you've ever made a mistake racing, does the rage just completely come out and you have no control over it? Or is that just very much an Isaac Hadjar thing?
I think it's very much an Isaac Hadjar. I can't think of ever a time where I've got out the car, particularly when you're in such a spotlight like that.
Yeah.
Like, just, I always thought that, is this on a loop? Because he just kept doing it, and then he sort of was bashing, and, you know, I actually managed to find the camera shot that was just looking at him that's fixed in the car, and he was literally just smashing his helmet, as you said, just hitting everything. But we've seen, any of your viewers or listeners have been watching Formula 3 back in the day, he obviously went off at Monza when he was fighting for the title, and there was that iconic, I've crashed the car, you know, and was really upset, and kind of was a little bit of hitting and kicking took place then, but nothing like that. And I almost thought, like, that's bizarre behaviour. You'd almost, like, do it out of the spotlight and behind the scenes. We've seen he's emotional. We know how good he can be. I think he's been probably at the very start of his, anyone you put in an early stage of Red Bull career, he's kind of been fairly close to Max at times. Okay, I know it's the new regulations, but yeah, I was a little bit sort of concerned, being like, that reaction. He knows that he is under so much pressure. Whoever's in that seat is under heaps of pressure, so maybe that,
well, little helmet marker's not there anymore.
So that is true, but still, it's Red Bull, so who knows? That's, but yeah, cool. It was. I was kind of a little bit, concerned at the reaction, really.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on that one, Ben?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with Alice on that. I think it was just a little bit over the top, his reaction. But I think he's very emotional, and it's the way he deals with it. And in a way, to get rid of it, he almost needs to thump around, and then hopefully he can move off away from it. You know, but everybody has slightly different ways of dealing with these difficult situations where mentally it really hits them hard. They have to deal with it in different ways. I think he's still talented, honestly. I think he is a very talented driver, and I think he can bring it back. I just think he had a bit of a difficult weekend. He's kind of overreacted, but I do think he's got the ability to suddenly come back strong again.
Oh, totally. And I think it was quite a weird one, because I mean, I've interviewed him a couple of times, and he is, just in person when you're sitting and chatting to him, very chill. He sits down, he drinks a nice mint tea, doesn't even really drink Red Bull or energy drinks or anything like that. He sips a mint tea and puts his feet up, and he likes to be in his comfy clothes and all that sort of stuff. He's a very calm person. When you compare him next to Max, who drinks, I don't know, probably about 25 Red Bulls a day, literally sits down, cracks open a can every 5 seconds, you would expect a more hyperactive reaction from a Max than you would an Isaac. So when that happened, I was like, where on earth has that come from?
Maybe they need to put mint tea in his drinks bottle instead of water. Yeah, so when he's driving around, sips. If he does crash, just have a big gulp of mint tea and then be all good.
That's what he needs. Chamomile. He needs some chamomile tea.
Yeah.
I love that's chamomile.
What he needs.
We'll get it sorted. Before we move on, make sure you hit that bell button or follow us wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure on social media you follow us. We are Essential F1 basically everywhere, because we have big news. We have exciting news, because next week we have an interview special episode with Haas team principal Ayo Komatsu. Honestly, cannot wait to meet him. I've never met him before. This is so exciting. Ben, have you met him before?
I have. Yeah, and he's a really good guy to talk to, so I'm looking forward to it.
Meanwhile, before we move on to Canada, I mean, Alice, you're not only a commentator and doing stuff with Five Live and travelling around all over the place, but also as a racing driver as well. So you must have a Miami-based story for us, surely.
I've got quite a few Miami. Do you want the good one or the bad one? Which one do you like?
I feel like I want both.
Okay, let's start with the bad. When W Series had their, I think that was 2022, it was so hot. It was unbelievably hot. And I basically got my rear tyres way too hot, a bit carried away with doing burnouts before the start. Stalled at the start. I wasn't the only one. Two or three did it, but W Series had put a lot of, a limit on the car for the RPM. So it wasn't just enough RPM. This is me making a racing driver excuse, but I just got my rear tyres too hot. But I'm also blaming the RPM limit. So stalled, and then just heat of the moment, desperately trying to catch up the pack, crashed. I think it is on the exit of turn seven on the really, before the really long straight, into the wall. Destroyed the car, basically. I think I did the chassis. And I then, not my fault that they lifted my car and they went to go under a bridge, but the bridge sign thing was too low. So then they had to turn around. So the safety car was out for quite a few number of laps because my car's balancing on this crane thing, trying to work out, well, where are we going to put this car? Because we can't go under the bridge. But apparently then for the F1 race the next day, they then had to raise the bridge just in case it happened. So there's the bad story. Yeah, don't get your tyres too hot. The track temperature was, I think, nearly 60 degrees. So
what's the good one?
The good one, I would say, will be from when F1 Academy were there in 2024. I was out there with Abby Pulling, and it was her first weekend of pretty much domination, double pole, two wins. And I remember, just being a real awesome weekend, lots of celebration, and almost pretty much was the catalyst to her sort of winning the championship, really. So I've had some great memories and some not so great memories.
Understandable. That's great. Well, it is time for us to start looking forward to the next race, of course, Canadian Grand Prix. It is one of the great classics of Formula One. And we do know that George Russell, who was talking about it, he won it last year. He's done very, very well. He got the pole and won and got fastest lap last year. So that was impressive. He also had pole in 2024, but he didn't get the win. But he's always been very, very competitive. Lewis Hamilton, a 7 times winner at that track. Mind you, Michael Schumacher back in the day, he had 7 wins there as well. So it's one of those places. And of course, for Max Verstappen, he's always done a brilliant job. So there's lots to look forward to, isn't there?
I mean, there's still kind of time, because it's not happening next week. It's the week after, isn't it? So now the teams have still got time to go back and carry on working on top of the 5 weeks that they've just had. So who knows what's going to be going on in Canada? Also, potentially a little bit of rain, maybe. Alice, we stay excited for that.
Yes, we do. I mean, it's a track that I wish I could have raced at, because it's just such a cool, iconic track. Every time I was on the PlayStation game or the PC game, it'd be one of the first ones that I'd be like, do you know what, I'm just going to go around Montreal, because it's just such a classic track. And we, have you already mentioned, have some great races there and plenty of drivers that do great there. And in particular, George Russell's going to be going there being like, please, I go well here. Please, can Kimi just have a bad one and me just have a good one? Obviously, Kimi got on the podium as well last year. But no, he'll be hoping that his Montreal form continues. And obviously, me and Ben will be working together on F1 Academy as well that weekend. So
nice.
They've got 3 races, which are the very exciting races last year, so hopefully they're just as good this year.
Right, well, now we're going to move on to our prediction championship of the world. Now let's just take a pause while I open up my notes, because things have got quite dramatic. Now, obviously, it's been a while since we've done a prediction because it was a 5-week break. And I'll be honest, I completely forgot who I opted for. Ben, probably best that you forgot who you predicted. But allow me to take you through the scores at the moment. So this is how it works, Alice, is it's your first time playing. So you're going to pick P1, P2, P3 and fastest lap. So you're going to get 6 points if you get P1, 4 for P2, 2 for P3, and then a point for fastest lap, right? As it stands, in last place is Ben, and he has 1 point.
Ben, what are you doing?
Just not predicting very well.
No!
He has 1 point. He got another big fat zero from last time.
Yep.
And it's just, it happens. It happens every time Ben comes on and you think, oh, actually, you might do all right here, Ben. And then he doesn't. But also at the same time, Alice, there's no pressure on you.
Basically, do we let him predict first and then we just don't?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know, because our previous guest was the wonderful Nikki Shields and she also got a big fat zero. So actually, fun fact, team guest and Ben both on 1 point right at the bottom of the table. And then it's a huge jump up to producer Jim with 20 points because you got Lando and Oscar for second and third. Very nice, producer Jim.
Wow.
And then I'm P1 with 31 points because I got Antonelli.
Yeah. So, well done.
Doing it for the girls.
But look,
very impressive.
Anything can happen because we're still very early on in the season. So we're going to go to Alice, team guest, for your predictions. First of all, please, P1, P2, P3 and fastest lap.
Okay, do you know what? I'm gonna stick with George for P1. I'm gonna say he's gonna win it again. He's gonna come back. He's gonna have this very short break. He's gonna come there and he's gonna be, P1. So there we go, George P1. I reckon it's gonna be Antonelli P2. So it's gonna be Mercedes 1-2. Bold, I know. Mm-hmm. Tell me about it. And then Lando in P3.
Nice.
Fastest lap, let's go for Kimi Antonelli.
Oh, stunning. So you feel like George will be up front and then Kimi's going to try and catch him up.
Yeah.
And throw out that fastest lap.
It's going to be good. Obviously, I hope that's how the result goes because I want to be further than Ben in the championship and not be last.
It's not
you
difficult.
Will.
It's fine.
Sorry, Ben.
You will. Well, I'm going to go make a choice so you know this won't happen. Okay. And it is a bit of an odd one. I'm going to go for an odd one. I'm going to go for Piastri taking the win.
Ben's staying McLaren at the bottom of the table again next week, doesn't he?
I know, risky, but there you go. I'm going to put Max second and Antonelli third. But I am going to go fastest lap for Russell. I think he will go well, but let's see.
Okay. I'm going to go P1 Kimi Antonelli. He's on fighting form. He's going to turn up to Canada feeling very confident. I think George is going to have a good moan up again. So I think P2 is actually going to go to Max. He loves it. He loves it. So we're going P1 Kimi Antonelli. P2, I'm going Max Verstappen. P3 will be Lando Norris. And fastest lap will go to Max. That's what I'm going for. Bosh. Producer Jim.
Wow.
There we go.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go for Russell. I agree. He goes well there and he needs it. I'm going to go Lando Norris second. Those guys are back. He should have won. Should have won last week in Miami. Max Verstappen third because he goes well there. Might be a bit of rain. And fastest lap, curveball, Lewis Hamilton.
I was going to say, no one had said Lewis yet.
No. And Mercedes are bringing big upgrades to Canada as well. So.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's interesting. Yeah.
Oh, no, can't change it now. They've been submitted
No,
now.
It's too late. Jim's written it down now. And he's written it down in pen, not pencil. Can't rub it out. Well, Alice, thank you very much for joining us on the podcast. It's been lovely having you on.
No, it's been lovely. It's been great.
Thank you so much for coming along, Alice. And as you said, we've got Ayu Komatsu next week. That's going to be really good. And then after that, we'll be able to see what happens in Canada. So we will see you then.
Lovely. See you next time.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.